right, welcome to Scotch and a Sandwich. We are all 30-something dads talking about sports and music and nerdy stuff, which is going to be mostly like superhero movies and Star Wars. My name is Pierre Carlson. I'm joined by three friends of mine, including Brandon Lorenz.
Hey, Pete.
Joe Howard.
Sup.
And Tyler Bartelt.
Hi.
And this is our inaugural episode. Woo-hoo. Episode one of Scotch and a Sandwich.
Maiden Voyage.
Pretty excited. Okay.
Just get this out of the way then.
Okay. Oh, cheers, boys.
Yeah. What are we drinking here?
Scotch.
What kind?
Tomatin. Okay.
That's smooth.
Too bad. All right, so kicking it off, let's talk sports. One of the age-old questions, of course, currently we're in the Western-Eastern Conference Finals, and I think pretty much everyone wants Golden State and Cleveland to be in the finals again, a nice little rematch, but we're going to talk first about Michael Jordan versus Kobe versus LeBron.
I think Lorenz wants to go first.
I could start the flow of conversation, I don't mind. Unique about Kobe, played for the Lakers his entire career. I kind of think of Jordan as a Bull, even though he had the brief stint in Washington. I don't really, and Joe might take exception to this, but I don't consider those Washington years as part of his career. I think that was like he was playing hobby basketball at that point. So I consider MJ and Kobe unique in that they played for the same team their entire career. Whereas sure. LeBron spent 4 years of his prime with Miami and then came back to Cleveland. So I'm just looking at the numbers. Career points per game, LeBron's at 27, Kobe's at 25, Michael Jordan's at 30. And that's with...
Is that counting
the Wizards? That's counting the Wizards.
Jeez.
Field goal percentage. LeBron's career is at .536. Kobe's .479. MJ is .509. Okay. Enough about the stats. The Lorenz eye test. Is LeBron physically larger
than
Jordan?
Yeah.
If LeBron, they were showing on SportsCenter the other day, where he'll have the ball on the perimeter near the 3-point line, and he'll back up 4 or 5 steps, and so the defense actually sags off of him a little bit. What he's setting up is him taking it to the hole strong, and you cannot stop him when he gets a shoulder. If he gets half a step on you and gets a shoulder into your chest, you're done. There's no way you're going to stop that. And I don't think Michael Jordan would be able to stop that either. But here's the difference. Michael could create his own shot against LeBron, too.
Nasty fadeaway.
Nasty fadeaway. LeBron played poorly last night. I think, despite the physical size, we'll never know in a one-on-one. I mean, we'll never know that. We'll never know who would beat who in a one-on-one.
Right. I think it's unfair to talk about LeBron in this conversation because LeBron technically won as a small forward. Jordan didn't play small forward until he went to the Wizards. Jordan entered that career with the Wizards at over 30 points a game for his career, managed to still end up at 30.1 points a game. LeBron probably will not get there, nor does he want to. LeBron is a passer, a rebounder, all those things that he has better stats, career over 7 plus on both of those, to where Kobe and Michael were scorers. That's what they were on the court to do, and that's what they can do. My eye test is always, who would I rather have on a team? If I was a GM or a coach or even a teammate, who would I rather have on my team? It always comes down and never has my answer changed. It's Michael Jordan. because he's the best leader. He is the person that you want with the ball at the end of the game, more so than those other two guys.
Yep.
So sure. I think the comparison between Michael and Kobe is something that we that probably should be, okay, who's the greatest small shooting guard of all time? That's fine. When you bring LeBron into it, as far as talking about maybe now the greatest player of all time, I don't think LeBron's going to touch him because he still have a ways to go on winning. And that, I think, is ultimately why we all played sports or have played sports or watched sports. You watch to see the winners. And you don't find a better winner than Michael. The difference is between Michael and Kobe. Kobe, I think, might have been a smarter player than Michael. I think Kobe's cerebral approach to the game might have been more than that of Michael Jordan's.
Really?
Yeah. Kobe, my eye test goes into fundamentals. And I think Kobe's feet were Kobe's greatest asset. Kobe being able to put himself in position to score on you was, it's phenomenal. The way he approached the game was trying to figure out, like, oh, you took a half an inch step back on your left hand, you know, your left foot and your left hand at the same time, and now I have an opening. And then he was, man, much like his nickname, going to attack you all game long if he could.
Right.
You know?
How many shots did Kobe Bryant take, though?
A lot! He took a lot. He took a lot, but you got to realize, though, like, he was also at 18 years old playing, you know, that's in true. The NBA. You know, it was a lot different. But Michael took a lot of shots in early on in his career, too. 84-85 season, 85-86 season, 86-87 season, Michael was taking a lot of shots.
I got how many? 30,699.
How many shots did MJ take?
It's coming up.
But it's comparable, slightly less, maybe. Just because Kobe played longer.
Yeah, did at this point, like.
So 30,700, we said?
For Kobe?
For Kobe, yeah.
Shots taken?
Shots taken per. That they don't have a grand, wait, career?
If you look at Michael's body of work, before Michael had a team around him that could go win championships, Michael has taken teams to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Michael
similar
also
to LeBron,
had
similar to LeBron.
Similar to LeBron. But Michael had a year, man, where he averaged 37.3 points a game.
Man. That would have been 1986-87.
All right. That's we're not going to see a guy in this conversation that we... Now,
he played 82 games. He averaged 40 minutes a game.
Come on. So he averaged 37 points a game. That's the highest scoring average that we've had.
Jordan took...
In our lifetime in the NBA is Michael Jordan's 37 points a game.
And that was without... He didn't rely on the three-point field goal at all that season.
Not until later in his career.
Yeah.
Jordan overall took 24,537 shots.
Wow, yes, a lot less years.
And he made 12,192 of them.
I'm going to say Kobe missed a lot more shots than MJ did. As you could tell by his...
He played a lot more years.
Yeah. And Kobe was, I always felt like, was put in that position where he had to make shots because
Not the Shaq years, Rick Fox. They had great shooters on those.
Some of those other years, though, Jordan started to elevate a lot of those side players. You know, you had Steve Kerr, Paxton, you had Rodman come in, you had Horace Grant, Tony Kukoc, Pippen, I mean, even just Pippen. So say you take half those guys, a lot of those guys, just because Jordan was on the team, he made them elevate their game to a point where they started to not become unknowns necessarily in the NBA world, where Kobe wasn't always surrounded with that talent.
Right.
So Kobe sometimes, I think, was forced to, like, put it on his shoulders.
No, you're talking about later on in his career.
Well, yeah, I'm talking later on, but I wonder how many of those shots that Kobe took have come from his later years when he felt like he had to do everything.
Or how many came from him being 18, 19 years old.
Right.
And just, I'm going to score the ball.
Yeah. Because, I mean, Kobe, I mean, when he was drafted, they were a good team, but that wasn't a great team at that point.
No.
Kobe got one more or two more post-Shaq? He ended up getting...
He ended up... How many championships did he have? He won three with Shaq.
Yeah, so he got two others.
I think Did he hit six?
No, he had five.
Five.
He had five? Okay.
MJ got six.
Yes.
So, yeah, so he ends up with five. Yeah, he got the one with Gasol.
That's what brought him.
He beat the Celtics. Three? Yeah.
Here, I'll say this, and it gets back to the eye test a little bit. I never, ever, in a meaningful game, I never saw Michael Jordan disappear or play poorly. I've seen LeBron James disappear or play poorly or not want the ball and want to defer to teammates. I don't know. I don't have, because that's in more recent memory. I can't recollect if I had the same feelings about watching Kobe play. Beat him two rings post Shaq, five total. You know, Joe brings up a point. We're comparing shooting guards to a small forward here, but I think in terms of clutch, in terms of just will to win and outright competitiveness, I'll take. If we're talking greatest of all time, it's Jordan, and it's not close.
Right.
It's not close. Plus, I think the whole LeBron thing comes up because people need something to talk about.
Is he the greatest player in the game right now?
LeBron is the greatest basketball player on the earth.
And maybe Mars. I don't know who lives there.
Yeah. But I mean...
Where's the Monstars from?
Yeah, Jordan defended the earth from...
LeBron's about to, though. That's going to happen soon.
Are they making a sequel?
They are making a sequel.
That's awesome.
LeBron James. The bad thing about it is last night, the Cavaliers came out to the Monsters theme song.
Did they really?
From Space Jam. It's like, why would you want to do that? First of all, they lost.
They were beat by a Thomas-less Celtics
team. Right.
That could be another topic of whether or not that helped them play better.
But LeBron is probably, and without a doubt, like the best player on the court right now and has been for how many years. But their loss just shows how a team can live or die by LeBron. Because the Cavs offensive plan is pretty much Kevin Love scores 15 points first quarter. Kyrie is going to score 6 to 8 points, whatever, a quarter, consistently across the board. LeBron, those first two quarters, does a lot of, I'm going to get guys involved, spread the ball, and then he takes over the third and fourth quarter and just dominates and basically closes up the game. Well, what, he didn't score a point in the fourth quarter when they lost. I mean, it can show you how that team can live or die by one guy. And he was like 3 for 11 or something.
I think LeBron listens and cares deeply what people say about him. So I think, you know, he may have had a reputation at certain points of his career of not being a closer. And like, oh, he's not as great as MJ because he can't do this or this when it matters. And so that formula you just brought up of it getting your teammates involved early, but then it's time to take over. Oh, yeah. LeBron, it's time for you to take control of the game.
Oh, no, it's worked. I mean,
that's a very, very flaw. Now, he's exceptionally good. Okay, like what Joe said, he's the best human basketball player we have. But
might be a gorilla that's the same size as him
who's stronger.
Yeah, yeah. Just because he's
just
a gorilla.
More of a force in the paint. Yeah. Yeah, not as good of an outside shot. But
you know, if LeBron's thinking about it's my time to take over instead of playing with that loose, the Cavaliers are good enough certainly to beat the Celtics. If LeBron just stays in that same mode that he's in early, not forcing it,
it's still going to be Cavs in five. There's no way.
Well, of course, we're not. Right. It's Cleveland.
They lost last second shot.
Who do you want on your team?
Jordan.
Between these three guys,
Jordan,
Michael Jordan.
Jordan.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. I think that's the person you want to coach. That's the person you want to bring in as a GM. You want to find that person. That's your career goal, is to find that guy. And then if you're on the team, that's the guy you want leading you. Now, granted, Michael led a lot by intimidation, but he also intimidated players across the board. You know, like, and Michael was the greatest basketball player that's ever played. Now, we'll debate greatest athlete ever, because I think he's in that conversation too, but it's a little bit more difficult, because, you know, it's kind of hard, like,
You did say, who would you want to build your team, you know, out of those three guys? I think for a future question would be, out of the current players as they currently stand, who, if you could pick any guy in the league,
like today's NBA,
to build your team around one guy
for the future or for
another time?
Okay, we'll talk.
We'll keep that just to throw it out there. Who would you want to build your team around if you could pick one guy to just start a franchise and build?
I'll tell you right now, Anthony Davis, and I will debate why. I'll tell you right now, no doubt, Anthony Davis.
Okay. We'll leave it
there. He got his eyebrow thing under control. He's got two now, doesn't he?
No, I think it's still just one. It's one very rich eyebrow, like. It's got a lot of money in the bank, and that's where it is.
Did he insure it? I wouldn't doubt it. Did he insure it?
Is that not?
In case he got like...
Insure?
People well, with, if he got people hit in the with forehead, millions of dollars can insure different parts of their
Jennifer
body.
Jennifer Lopez insured her booty. He can insure his
that's
eyebrow.
True. That's true. But you should.
Well, I mean,
that goes away.
Everybody's got a thing.
Her singing? Sorry, J-Lo. I love your booty.
If J-Lo ends up hearing that, you just apologize to Jennifer Lopez. If she ends up hearing this, we've done really well
with that. Right, yeah, no kidding.
That's right.
Let's put it like that.
Well, that's kind of a good transition moving on to the music discussion. News recently is that the Grammys, this is the 60th anniversary of the Grammys, they're moving back to New York. Last time they were there was 2003. It used to switch back and forth between New York and L.A., for a long time. In fact, I think one year was even in Nashville. But most recently, of course, it's been in L.A. The last time it was in New York, there was... I'm going to put a little quiz to you guys. There was a female artist who won five Grammys. So this is 2003. Record of the Year, Album of the Year, Best New Artist, plus Best Female Pop Vocal Performance, and Best Pop Vocal Album. Who do you think that was?
What year was this?
2003, last time I was in New York.
Mandy Moore.
No.
I don't know. It's just... Yeah. Well...
2003. Okay, let me think here. Best new artist?
Best new artist.
Female?
Female, yeah.
Christina Aguilera?
No, nope. She wouldn't have been best new artist.
She's Shakira?
Not Shakira.
I'm trying to think of who else came out.
See, Miss Education Lauryn Hill was in 98. She won more than that, right? Miss Education Lauryn Hill was then. She won, I think she won more.
Who came on the scene in 2003?
2003. This was the 45th.
Grammy. Best album and best new
record of the year, album of the year, best new artist, best female pop vocal performance, and best pop vocal album.
That's like right around the time Vanessa Carlton, Michelle Branch.
Vanessa Carlton was up for it, but it was not her.
Like Natalie Imbruglia?
No, she was not.
No, that was 90s.
I'm going to say maybe Norah Jones.
It was Norah Jones.
Wow. Good call.
The only one worthy of those Grammys of the names that just got dropped out there.
Rightfully so.
Well, Lauryn Hill would have been too.
Well, yeah.
We agreed that was much earlier. Okay.
Right. And what kind of sucks is that it's earlier this year. It's not after the Super Bowl. It's end of January.
Before the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
What have the ratings been like for the Grammys for like the last 5 years?
They should still be okay because, I mean, the juggernaut that they have to go up against then is the Pro Bowl. So...
Well, yeah.
Well, this year, I mean, typically...
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't think it has much of a competition in terms of...
Yeah, but it might be NFC and AFC championships.
Oh, yeah, they are going back to that. No, if it's a week before the Super Bowl?
It should be 2 weeks. You have the championship games, and it's 2 weeks in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So if the Super Bowl is the next week, then it's in its own time slot. But, I mean, with the 60th anniversary, they're going to... It'll be all right because they're going to probably dig into, you know, getting the right people out there to make a big deal out of the telecast. So it should be, you know, it's okay. Well, this should be after Keith Richards' 172nd birthday. We could probably get the Rolling Stones to play. You know, let's find Paul McCartney and, you know, all those types of
And they'll get like a New York, like it's going to be like a Fallon or someone who's going to host it. It's going to be someone pure New York.
It won't be LL Cool J?
That was a couple years.
No,
Melo's done a great job.
I played a game and I took a sip of something every time he licked his lips.
That's a lot of sips.
Yeah. Is this but the ladies love it.
Time to demand. Talk about another person that can insure a body part.
That's true.
It used to alternate between West Coast, East Coast.
Yeah.
Well, it's been 14 years.
In Los Angeles?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 45th was the last time they held it in New York.
And since then, though, like the Grammy Museum and all that stuff has been open, right? It wasn't open before
right?
So, yeah, I think in that amount of time, like...
And who hosted last year?
LA is kind of been...
James Corden? Is that right?
That sounds right.
No. Or was that the Tonys?
I think that was the Tonys. Yeah, I forget.
I think LL did it last year.
No, I think he's done it because it's been on CBS.
Okay.
How long is the network television broadcast? Did they give us 3 hours or 2 hours? And a half?
Grammys will go like 7 to 10:30 usually.
Okay. I think they broadcast for 3, but it always goes way over.
And we're going to be in California.
One part of the Grammys that we may all know about, but I don't know if everyone knows, is you only see a very small percentage of the awards that are actually given.
Yeah.
There are Grammys for dozens and dozens, possibly even hundreds of other categories.
Aaron Shatner has a Grammy.
Obscure. Yeah, if you want to call it.
The Spock?
Yeah. I don't know.
I think he was nominated, but did he win one? Grammy,
but I know Leonard Nimoy does. And like, didn't like Clinton have one?
Yeah.
He did. What was Slick it Willie got a Grammy.
Playing sax?
Slick Willie.
On like an OAR album or something?
OAR.
There's
I said, Clinton, what you doing tonight?
There's an LA Times article by Randy Lewis, who just getting quotes from people talking about New York and talking about some of the energy that New York has always brought to the show. And he was just bringing up some of the old great moments, you know, that, you know, they had Aretha Franklin's singing. He said they did the first one at Radio City Music Hall with Lou Reed singing Walk on the Wild Side. He just said, you know, I think we can take advantage of both the venue and what New York represents musically, you know, in that. So, and apparently, because it's moving from New York, from the Staples Centers, director Spike Lee has been tapped to create a promotional video.
Yeah, it's out.
New York Stories. Oh, it came out already. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. I saw it the other day.
So I think if they tap into that New York talent of maybe because it's an anniversary, I feel like bringing some of that old school feel, you know.
Well, the promo video is basically, it's all black and white, and they go to like very famous venues. Yeah, very Spike Lee, go to various venues around New York City, and they have different, you know, celebrities and musicians just talking about why New York's the greatest.
It's a lot of history.
It really is.
Now you just gotta have the right acts. So if they're doing New York, if it's on CBS still, probably won't be Fallon, just because of NBC ties.
Yeah.
So if they would tap somebody to host it, I mean, is there anybody that you have in mind that would excel or do well from the CBS?
LL Cool J. Why are we against LL Cool J?
Like, we're not. We're just saying New York, because they usually get somebody who's like based in the area.
LL Cool J.
Colbert's out there.
Is he New York?
I thought he was
Fallon.
Well, not, I'm saying network-wise, though, because it's on CBS. They usually tap CBS. Somebody. Just like Tony's are always on CBS, so they grit somebody.
Well, that would be Colbert, then.
Be CBS the first, have all the award shows?
No, just they have like some of the musical ones.
Okay.
I remember they used to be on ABC for a while, but Grammys have been on CBS for a while. James Corden could do it with Carpool Karaoke. I mean,
Failed horribly last time.
Oh yeah, well
no one knew the lyrics to Sweet Caroline.
Do you think the Grammys, the voters are all industry professionals?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
we have one. Yeah,
I'm one of them.
So, in the sense that it is like peer recognition, that's cool because you also have award shows like People's Choice Awards and everything else. It's nothing more than a glorified popularity contest. The caliber of people that are involved in voting on the Grammys, it is more of an honor because it comes from other professionals in the music industry. But I still, at the heart of it, I don't agree with the premise of giving awards for music. I don't think music is like a meritocracy, like sports.
It's technically not for music. It's for the recording. It's the Recording Academy is the organization that puts it on. So it's technically not the music itself that gets the recognition. It's for the actual recording.
Which is why you guys can have somebody like Bon Iver win Best New Artist. Right.
Do you think the general population is aware of that distinction, though?
Okay. Absolutely not.
But it's also that's why there's a problem with it. Mm-hmm. That's why there's a huge problem with it. That's why you're looking at the controversy over the last 2 years at the Big Four Awards. You know, Best Album, Best, you know, like all that. There's been a huge uproar because in the last 2 years you saw Kendrick Lamar lose and you saw Beyonce lose.
Right.
When arguably they had the best two albums that were.
From a musical standpoint, yeah.
I think from a production side. Come on, man. Like, you're telling me that To Pimp a Butterfly was a lesser recording to 1989 by Taylor Swift? 1989 is a dope album. Absolute dope album. To Pimp a Butterfly was groundbreaking. Adele's 25. Great album. Lemonade, groundbreaking. Mm-hmm. Not only in the material and the songs on the album, but how they were produced. You're talking about 2 years in a row that you're talking, and the last time, and also what's with in those Big Four awards? What is with not acknowledging hip hop as strong as you would pop or you would other albums? Because the last hip hop album to win one of the Big Four was, I think, Outkast, maybe. Speaker Box Love Below?
Really?
I think. Which, that's Hey Ya.
Didn't Jay-Z win Record of the Year or Album of the Year at some point within the last 7 to 10 years?
I don't think so. Okay. I'm pretty sure that the last one went was Outkast. And that was a long time ago. Because I think before that, it might have been a Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. That was a long time ago.
You brought up the point exactly. Why does it have to all of a sudden... Why does there have to be a winner between two or three or five great records? Because...
Mm-hmm. Like, Stapleton's new album is awesome if you haven't listened to it.
Yeah.
Like, but is he going to get the recognition as some of the...
When you read the press coverage about the Grammys, they are absolutely not talking about the production techniques.
No, I know they're not.
Which is supposed to be what it's all about. They're talking about the red carpet. They're talking about who's wearing what and who's wearing who. And... it's a hang, and it's kind of a good party. It's a good party, but conceptually, I disagree with the whole premise of the Grammys. I don't think, you know, it's an honor to be nominated.
Well, how would you do it differently?
I wouldn't have an award show based around music. You know, you have proof in the pudding type things like Billboard, like whose album is selling the best. And if you want to have like a party to hand out awards for who sold the most records, that's cool and everything. But if the RIAA, you know, like we make fun of the Whammies all the time, it's basically just a glorified circle
pump.
Yeah. Grammys are the same thing on a much, much larger scale.
True. I know from... because we happen to know a guy who's an elder on one of the a trustee on one of the boards, and he sits on the jazz board. So he basically, because any band could get nominated by anyone who's a member of the Recording Academy, so I could nominate any bands that we know to it. Now,
Middleground.
Yeah, I could. Yeah, for example. But so then they get like hundreds of submissions. So like, you know, maybe like 600 different submissions of jazz artists. Well, these elders then, or trustees then, go through and they'll highlight the ones they've heard of. So if you haven't been heard,
they don't have time to listen to everything.
You couldn't listen to it. No. So you have to get on the radar of board members. And one of the best ways to do that, of course, is by airplay.
Sure.
But yeah, if you're, they go through and highlight that, And then from that list, they still have like 50 on there.
Yep.
Then they argue with the other board members and narrow it down to the final, like, what is it, five that get nominated?
Sure.
And so it's a process. In fact, they take like a whole weekend, and they actually, when they've narrowed it down to about 25 albums, they'll actually get together and they'll listen straight through to all those albums. But yeah, they're not going to listen to 600 albums. That doesn't make any sense. So you could have the greatest from a musical and production side album of the year, and no one has heard of you.
So James Corden did host it last year.
Oh, did he?
Is okay. Again. And these are the...
Wait, he is again?
He is again, yes. He is also for 2018. Okay. So the early contenders, and this was produced actually February 15th. So not too long ago, but still pretty early. They were just talking early contenders. Bruno Mars, Album of the Year, Record of the Year. Lady Gaga, Song of the Year, for a million reasons. The Weeknd, Album of the Year, Record of the Year. Ed Sheeran, Record of the Year. Tribe Called Quest, Album of the Year. And that's just some of the early ones that they're throwing out there for early contenders.
Tribe now might be a contender in that topic we just touched on.
We don't know. You know, there's probably a couple yet that have yet to be released. Or
yeah. Well,
you know,
of course,
that's
yeah.
a very early. But you know, and it's that. And do you feel that based on that? Because this is, those are all people who you hear on pop radio for the most part. That ones who are maybe an alternative phase R&B or even country artists who aren't necessarily, you know, like honky-tonk country, but more like blues country, do you think they get neglected or kind of forgotten about because there's other award shows, quote-unquote, that are like, there's the Country Music Awards, and then there's, you know, like, is there so much focus put on that idea that, you know, these are the guys that are selling albums, where some of these off genres that may, you know, are still very popular, but...
But there's award shows for that, too. I mean,
but should they get recognized if it's for a recording industry? I mean, look at all those guys that probably record a lot of their stuff in Nashville that, you know, maybe don't get the recognition that they should if they don't.
I think the Grammys were far more relevant when people were going out and buying out like physical albums, whether that was on vinyl or cassette or CD. The way people access music now, people still buy albums, of course.
Sure.
But finding out about new artists today is it's so much easier than it was in the 80s and 90s.
Anybody can have a hit. You just pop up one on YouTube and you get...
Right. I think the industry's changing, but the industry's kind of bouncing back. You see record sales starting to, because they had to redefine what digital music meant and how that would apply to these different things. And I think you'll see a change. But if you look at the list that you just read, yeah, Stapleton just released an album last week. We'll see how that does. You know, notable, not on that album, John Mayer's album, Search for Everything, is out. And that's not on there. Obviously, I'm a big John Mayer fan, but I'm a big fan of Ed Sheeran. I'm a big fan of Bruno Mars. I'm a big fan of the Tribe Called Quest. That's hip-hop royalty. but we'll see, I mean, how it kind of all plays out. I think giving an award for accomplishments in music is important. And, like, I get more excited for the Grammys than I do the Super Bowl. And that might be because I'm a Bears fan and they can't sniff the Super Bowl, but, you know, they're at home all watching it like I am. But point being, you know, I'm still more excited for the Grammys every year because, you know, being a musician, that's what I get excited about. That's
sure,
like, really important. So I think it's, I think overall the where we're going to see it going is people, the uproar of people, the beehive and all that craziness with Beyonce losing and then people like really feeling that Kendrick should have won last year. I think that stuff is going to start to, you're going to start to see a change. You'll start to see, you know, some of these albums starting to do what they're supposed to do. So.
Now you were telling me that you actually watched the Grammys with a whole bunch of notes and stats and stuff, right?
Yeah, man. I grab my... You know, I grab my, I circle everything and have a whole list of all the awards, and I go through the night and whatever they're going to announce, I make my picks and everything like that. Man, I treat it like fantasy football.
So we'll have to do that the week or two before the show.
Yeah,
we can go through our picks, maybe narrow down.
You need to do a whole show. Put a little
money on it?
Do a whole show on the Grammys.
Scotch?
You should. Absolutely. I mean, it's that big of a deal. It's music Super Bowl.
All right. Go ahead.
You do prop bets. We include something about J-Lo's booty in it.
We'll never know. Here's the difference. When the Patriots and the Falcons met in the Super Bowl, you couldn't make an argument that there was another football team somewhere that we haven't heard of that like wasn't in the NFL that was potentially better than one of those two teams. With music, you can always make the argument that like you have five nominees for Album of the Year. You can 100% make the argument that there's a better album out there somewhere.
Sure.
Well, that's because music that people haven't heard of. Yes. So I think the idea... Subjective.
Subjective, yes.
The idea of issuing awards for something that's so subjective and personal, I get why they do it. It's useful. It has relevance. It has benefit. I just, you know, I'm on my soapbox a little bit, and I don't have to
Yeah, but it's not the only awards that are given out that are... They're subjective. We get like even like
the Tonys, the Oscars,
and
you know what it does? You know what it's useful for? Is it gives people, oh, I should go buy those six albums or those 10 or those 15. Yeah. So that's cool. It, like same thing that it does with movies, like, oh, I should make a point every year to see every Best Picture nominee because that's probably worth my time.
Sure.
So there's value there. But it's, you know, so as like a marketing tool to help drive sales, I think it's great. But in terms of like giving merit to, oh, because this won the Grammy, it's right. The best, that's very subjective.
Well, with the Recording Academy, the Grammys are the front that everyone knows about. One of the organizations that they do is called Music Cares, and that's what I'm more passionate about. Music Cares, have you ever heard of it?
No.
It's actually a kind of a foundation that's set up to help musicians. So they'll, like, if you were playing a gig and your whole band's gear got stolen, you could submit to Music Cares and potentially get reimbursed some money, especially if you didn't have insurance out on all that.
Really?
They'll set up these, like, that's clinics.
Creepy.
Yeah. Oh, really? They'll set up clinics for...
Music Cares, if you're listening, there's a false insurance clinic.
That's right.
One Brandon Lorenz.
They'll set up dental clinics for musicians because, you know, they can't afford health insurance, that sort of thing. Or if you know, say you're... that's your main gig. You're a performing musician and you get diagnosed with cancer. And, of course, you know, you may or may not have medical health insurance. You can actually submit to Music Cares, and there's potential to get helped out.
Cool.
So that's actually this other side of the Recording Academy that most people don't see.
Helps them siphon tax incentive.
See, why you have to turn it there?
That's my cynical side.
Good grief, man. He just laid out something that's dumb.
The only reason altruism exists is for tax incentives.
You had to take it Trump right away.
Oh, man.
That's a good place to end that segment.
Okay. Let's move on. Let's talk in our nerdy news. There's a couple of superhero movies that have come out so far this year. Now, Brandon, I know you've not seen any of them. The two main ones being Logan and Guardians. The three of us went and saw Guardians open night.
I was probably getting laid.
That could happen in the theater too.
Being a nerd is cool again, man.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
We rule the world. We can do this quick because Peter, you haven't seen Logan. So
yeah.
we'll keep it spoiler free.
Yeah, no spoilers.
Well, Logan's coming out on Blu-ray tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. So then you'll get.
Got mine coming. Like I'd order it on Prime and everything.
Is that the Wolverine guy?
Yeah.
Is that the Wolverine guy?
It Logan, in summary, is a great, loosely based adaptation of Old Man Logan, and mm-hmm. super loosely based, just basically the idea that it's future, post-apocalyptic, you have an older Wolverine, but...
Well, they couldn't do Old Man Logan, they didn't have the rights to all the...
It is one of the best, probably superhero-based movies, for the fact that it's more of a character movie instead of, like, huge budget, you know, action movie. I mean, they with the Blu-ray release, they have, with all the trailers and playing along with Johnny Cash, Hurt, they basically did a black and white noir version of Logan, and it's like a 2.5 hour long Johnny Cash music video. And I cannot wait to see that version of it, because it's just so well done as just a characterly driven storyline that takes away the emphasis on these huge, big budget battles and special effects. It's very just, here's your character, let's ride along with his story. And that's what made it a great
Is it movie. Better than X-Men Origins Wolverine?
Oh my god.
Is everything better than X-Men Origins Wolverine? Yes, the answer is yes. Everything is better than X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yeah.
An IRS audit is better than X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Deadpool might differ.
There are so many things.
Oh yeah, the Deadpool version was way better.
In fact, there's a new segment. Every week we talk about one thing that's better in X-Men versus Wolverine. It's going to be great. Like, my baby puked on the floor last night. It's better in X-Men versus Wolverine. You know, like, my tire blew on the way to work this morning. Better in X-Men versus Wolverine. Like, that movie is horrible. The best thing about this movie, outside of Hugh Jackman and Patrick Stewart's performances, is newcomer little 11-year-old Daphne Keene, I believe.
Yeah.
X-23.
She's mega dope.
So you don't know, X-23 is the new Wolverine, basically.
Sort of.
Kind of.
She's mega dope. She's 11, and no spoilers in it. She was absolutely amazing, and the back and forth between her and Hugh Jackman and Patrick Stewart were great, right. And it just made for a great movie. With the X-Men franchise, being as big of an X-Men fan as I am, I've had so many issues with so many of the movies. This is the best movie in that entire
franchise. Okay. Movies. Awesome.
And arguably one of the top 3 or 4 superhero movies ever made.
Really?
It was amazing. Fantastic.
Yeah.
High on the body count.
Well,
like, you know, reaching like Total Recall levels.
Commando.
But you know, it was worth it.
Special edition's gonna have a kill count, bottom right corner.
Is it really?
No. Because I think Taken did that at one point. They had a kill count in the corner. But
well, kind of a quick tangent in the X-Men world, because that's owned by Fox. This past weekend, I binge watched 6 episodes of Legion. The first 6 of the 8. I don't know if anyone... You saw the...
I saw the pilot.
Pilot.
Yeah, I didn't jump into it yet. I was going to binge it.
It's really good.
It's weird.
It's like... It's more of a horror psychological thriller. It like
hence it being on FX?
Yeah. I relate it more to like Stranger Things than anything else that's happened in at least in the TV series.
Speaking of Stranger Things, real quick. The new season of Twin Peaks debuted last night.
Oh,
25
yeah.
years later. It's on
Showtime, right?
Yep.
Did you see it?
Somehow Sling gave me free Showtime all of a sudden. I didn't pay for it, and it was just there. And I was like, holy, it's Twin Peaks. It's the new one. Yeah, I watched it. It blew.
Good.
Blew Showtime and Music Cares. I want you to be on the Random Rants. He's on the low right now, and I don't know. What he does, but he's getting things that nobody else has. So I just want to point it out at this point.
You know what it is? It's one of those things they give it to you for like a week and they take it away. They wet your appetite.
Oh, sure.
I'm sure that's what it is.
They give you the good stuff and then...
Trial. Free trial, period.
So the second one, which 3 of us have seen, being Guardians, I think overall, we all kind of generally felt that it was as good, if not better, than the first one.
I don't want to call it better than. Just different than because they...
It was different movie.
The first one focused on Chris Pratt's character, Peter Quill, pretty heavily.
Is this DC, Marvel, or Marvel
this
character?
This is Marvel. The Marvel Cinematic Universe, right. Which has Iron Man, Captain America, the Hulk.
All coming together.
Yeah. But this is one of the side projects within the universe, Guardians of the Galaxy.
But the next Avenger movies, Infinity War, there's actually going to be Guardians of the Galaxy characters in it.
They're kind of all combining. So they have all these separate movies set up, and their grand scheme of things is to slowly have them in two big movies all have interaction with each other. So this has been going on since
the X-Men aren't involved in
because that's owned by Fox. Even though it's Marvel sold the rights to
So you can't have like Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool interact with Robert Downey Jr.'s
and Marvel Tony sold, Stark. Sold Spider-Man rights to Sony back in the day, but now Sony and because Marvel's owned by Disney now, but now Disney and Sony are working together, which is why Spider-Man's showing up in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
They're loaning out characters.
Spider-Man was Marvel as well.
Marvel, yes, but
Sony had
the movie rights.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So now they're like on loan to be like, you can go join that, but as an outside comic fan, Guardians of the Galaxy would probably be one of the best movies to watch.
Did you watch the first one?
I think so.
Chris Pratt had a...
There was a raccoon.
Voiced by Bradley Cooper. There's a giant tree voiced by Vin Diesel.
No.
Okay.
I would remember those two things.
Actually, you wouldn't because you don't know. The voice work is so good. Unless you're digging in, you don't know that it's
Vin Diesel. Vin Diesel literally has one line.
But you could literally...
He has one line that he says 65,000 times, and that's his job, is to say that.
But you can watch that and actually enjoy it just as a normal movie, just like Star Wars or, like a space adventure kind of action movie, because the characters are great. Mm-hmm. But the second one had a lot of... a lot of expectations just because the first one was such a huge surprise as being comical and adventurous, and I think it was funnier.
In fact, I think Drax was probably my favorite character because everything he said was
David Bautista plays Drax, right? I mean,
MMA and...
now we're doubling up on the dork because Bautista's a wrestler, and that's my area.
Bautista. We'll talk wrestling.
I did
time.
See Lego Batman in
there you go.
Was I with you? Was that at Trey's birthday party?
No, that was... I couldn't... Oh, I was with... I think we had a
Brennan was by himself.
This was like a few weeks after Trey's party.
Trey is my son, for those that don't know. Shouts out to Trey. What's up, man? What's up? You're not going to listen to this either. Trey and J-Law not listening to the podcast. Right.
But the popcorn was too salty and it distracted me from the film, pretty much.
Did you have a drink?
Yeah, you ever have like popcorn that's so salty that it does something like around your mouth? And we all have beers kind of happening. But it was like,
you didn't have enough chapstick with you?
No, it was incredibly salty.
Why don't you just go get some new popcorn?
He didn't want to miss
started.
Did you like Lego Batman?
Yeah, I like the humor that gets injected. Yeah,
and that's the other thing about this movie, like Guardians, the comedic value of these movies are there. There's some funny characters. Even Vin Diesel just saying his one line constantly.
Yeah.
Now comes out in I'm going to break down for you real quick. There was a tree. Tree got killed. Now there's a baby tree. Baby tree says the same thing big tree did. And now the little tree is like super more funny because it's a little tree saying the same thing.
He's not as intelligent as adult tree because adult tree is wiser. Baby tree is infant tree who is...
Well, I could just see Brandon like trying to wrap his head about what's going on.
It doesn't know what's going on or doesn't know what's going on as well as an older tree would because it's you're growing up learning things. So there's a lot of pop culture references, especially because the main character played by Chris Pratt was taken from Earth mid-80s. He was like 8 as a character, left Earth
in the 80s. And which superhero is he?
He's Star-Lord.
So he's, yes, he's Star-Lord, man. he's kind of the main focus. Yeah, Peter Quill is his name, but he took the nickname Star-Lord. But he carries around a cassette player listening to a tape mix that his mom gave him. And, I mean, he's
all which is something that would be cool to do is if we break down. The soundtrack is just as important as the movie.
Absolutely.
Because the soundtrack actually is a plot point in the movie. Because he has these tapes that were given to him.
Oh, yeah.
It's full of all this dope music that we should probably break down.
At some point, yeah.
Now Volume 1 and Volume 2. They are also hits on the Billboard charts right now.
Mm-hmm.
These kind of mixtapes. So we can go back to our mixtape days and break down these two.
I remember a songbook, yeah. So Marvel, owned by Fox. Guardians of the Galaxy.
No, owned by Disney.
Owned by Disney.
Yeah, they sold movie rights for X-Men to Fox.
Okay, so Guardians of the Galaxy is Marvel. Their collection of superheroes. What is the DC franchise collection of superheroes called?
That's Warner Brothers. That's just, yeah.
Batman, DC. Superman.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman. Justice League.
All right. So, possible future topic.
Right.
Justice League versus X-Men or Guardians of the Galaxy. Ooh.
Are we talking about the movies?
Comics?
No, in terms of superpowers. Their ability to save the Earth's population.
Like, that's like fifth grade now, man.
Yeah.
Don't make me like tap into, because I've done the fifth grade lunch over lunch where you get into, you know.
Would you rather fly or be invisible?
Yeah. Look, I've slapped a kid over not agreeing with me over this as a kid. I will argue it. But what we need to do is we need to get Lorenz out to at least one of these movies.
Yeah.
And it might be like...
You sold me on Logan. I'll watch that for sure.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Logan is the real. But I think maybe like Homecoming might be a good one since it's Spider-Man.
Right.
It's a brand new Spider-Man.
New Spider-Man.
Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, I've seen... You know, I'm just not up on the most recent ones. Yeah. I've seen some of the, like, within the last decade, X-Men movies. I've seen most of, if not all, the Batmans and Supermans. Right. And,
okay, well, we're going to have to wrap this up. How we end our podcast, every week Tyler is going to present us with a Would You Rather.
I wouldn't say present. It's not esteemed by any stretch of the imagination.
So, for our first one, there's always good ones.
And we don't know this ahead of time.
I'm going to surprise these guys. So
this is a new one.
I have never presented this to you before, and every week I'm going to have a new one. And
Why do we keep saying present?
Like, I'm going to give. Talk.
I wouldn't even say give. You're just going to say something, and I'm not going to want to answer it.
Question. Here we go. So I had a couple in mind. I didn't know which way I wanted to go, and I thought maybe this would be more of a conversational one instead of a gasp or a... You know, shock, awe, or just grotesque one. So, would you rather fight off a dog-sized cockroach or a horse-sized rat?
Would you rather fight off a dog-sized cockroach?
Does cockroaches bite?
Or a horse-sized
rat? Because a rat would definitely bite you. And
I don't know, dude.
The rat might have the black plague. If it doesn't chew off your arm.
You know, I think that's a misnomer that rats carry disease. I think they're actually pretty clean.
Yeah, they pet rats.
Not sewer rats. Sewer rats probably have some stuff.
What kind of rats are we talking about?
All right, what is the dog and what's the horse? What is it?
Dog-sized cockroach, right? So let's say lab size.
Or a horse-sized rat?
Yes.
There's no question. Yeah,
it's cockroach.
I'm fighting off a cockroach.
Yeah. I'll take the roach.
I can hit that roach with my car. It's a roach. Like, that's a roach is in your cupboard. I can hand that cockroach a box of Ritz crackers and lay it in the middle of the street and run over it with my truck. That makes more sense. If you have a horse-sized rat, that horse-sized rat is going to kill you six ways from Sunday. You have no chance against a horse-sized rat. Do you know the size of the teeth and claws on a rat? If it was the size of a horse, that's the most ridiculous thing I ever seen. If a horse, like, what are you going to do? What could you potentially do? Like I said, I'm gonna run over the cockroach with my car. What are you going
to
do with a rat? Now,
you'd have to
now Lorenz,
you'd have to shoot it.
Exactly. Lorenz is going to be down. He's going to go, you know, Mississippi hunting with his father-in-law in this situation. and he's going to pull out some side of large type of weapon. But unless I'm out in the outback of something like Africa with Lorenz and his father-in-law ready for one of these animals, then no, I'm using whatever I can eliminate with my car.
The bug thing.
That's it. It's the biggest weapon I have.
It becomes a phobia thing. I think a lot of people are more afraid of the idea of a real life-size cockroach than a real life-size rat, which is ridiculous.
Because I haven't lived in the suburbs.
Haven't lived in the South. You know, they got names for roaches that make them sound nicer. Like, is it palmetto bugs or something? Anyways, it's just a roach, man. It's no big deal. Joe, I agree with Joe. Let me fight the dog-sized roach.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think the better bug that I'm thinking about it that would have been thrown in the conversation is like a life, or maybe a dog-sized or whatever, but like a centipede or a millipede.
No, you need something that's like...
Well, I know, but something that's like, long that
like
could...
Like a rattlesnake. Would you fight a dog-sized rattlesnake or a horse?
No. Dog-sized rattlesnake?
I think roaches are harmless to humans, too. They mean us no.
So can we train this dog?
Train. All right, we got to wrap this up. Thanks, everyone, for potentially listening, and signing off.
We'll be back in a couple weeks.
Okay. Deuces.
Later.